wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Oh, that rebellious son! In these days when man so strives to master every problem and not content with those of earth, but launching forth into outer space, let us face a problem for which man has no answer, and it glaringly exists right under our own roofs. The scientist spends 18 hours a day in his laboratory trying to develop some chemical wonder. But there at his dinner table sits a problem too big for him. The doctor administers drugs to his patients, but asleep in a bed in his home is a patient that yields to no medicine. The animal tamer with his whip teaches the lion to obey him, but in his own home and called by his very name is one on whom his whip has never fallen and who is still untamed. All earthly wisdom proves itself to be only vain theory when put to the test of daily life. The teacher's ideas don't work. The preacher's flattering sermon is only a joke. And when the police are called, the judge is stumped, for all his methods have already failed. Prison bars do no good. Mercy is only a tonic to such conditions, and the psychiatrist's assistance only adds to the family bills while the problem remains. By now, you do not need to be told the name of the unanswerable problem. It is defiant sons and daughters who defy parental control and who lawlessly challenge all authority. Every nation is tottering before this rising evil. Communities are ruined by it and families are wrecked. Books offer solutions, but they just don't work out. I will not then make a fool of myself by offering mine. But as a minister of God's word, I will give you God's answer. Give it your careful attention. This problem is as old as man's history. Cain was an uncontrollable youth. It has always been so. But like all forms of life, it thrives best in certain conditions. The material and spiritual conditions of these last days in which we now live are ideal to grow this problem, and it has reached gigantic proportions, for never were rebellious children so common or youths who do such wild deeds. Man has no answer, so let us listen to God. No case is too hard for him. Every careful Bible reader knows that God commands whipping as the parental medicine for disobedient children. There is none better. A well-informed news broadcaster commented on the utter failure of all legal efforts to curb reckless youths, because reckless youths become so desperate, that he advised to reestablish the public whipping post. This would do some good, but what about the youth that would get a gun and retaliate? Then what? The problem would only intensify. So let us see what God has to say about it in Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and they shall say, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. What does all this mean? It shows first that parents must chasten their rebellious children. But while that is good, it is not good enough. They are to train their children by precept and by example. The virtues of a family altar and the applications of the parental rod are worth heralding in this day when such are fast becoming obsolete. But even these will fail, and some youths will go from restraints to live reckless lives. When even these fail, then what? The next thing is stoning with stones that they die. It brought the death penalty for every rebellious son was a potential murderer or worse. Thus God showed that such children are hopeless, so that none of us retain hope in man's devices to reform these defiant youths. Reform institutions and reform sermons are alike futile. Such youths hop over these fences like a grasshopper over a blade of grass. Second, this drastic law of God through Moses makes us all feel our own personal guilt, for we were disobedient children to our parents, and we were rebels against our God, defying his every command. In that law we read our verdict, "Thou shalt die and not live." As certainly as we were ruined by the fall of Adam, so we all stand condemned by the holy law of God. For what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Why was that law never carried out? Other laws were, but the Bible is silent on the law of the rebellious son ever being obeyed. Why? Every parent knows. They answer, "If I had to do that, I would ask them to stone me instead. I just couldn't so accuse my own son and see him die." And another reason was, we were too guilty ourselves to cast the stones at even a rebellious son. But God's holy law must be fulfilled. If man is not morally qualified to execute it, then God is, and he must. So the case was not dismissed. It still stood on the docket. Years passed, but it was still there. Now some sons and daughters too, by their stubborn rebellion, occasion a scene in the home, a tussle, and the whole house is disturbed. Again and again it happens, while they only grit their teeth tighter in defiance. But others, like the New Testament prodigal son, do not make a scene at home, but they leave home, and when out of sight they rebel against all their parents taught them and defy them by their disgraceful actions, dragging the family name into the gutter. Their profane conduct makes them look like they never bowed at a family altar, attended a Sunday school, or were brought up in the fear of the Lord. Some in their college life waste the family funds with their riotous living, while others live in the hog pen of the load houses and the gambling joints, going after the empty husks of this vain world. What a mercy that parents do not see these modern prodigal sons in their far country. Yes, and daughters too, for so many daughters leave the farm home, and in the far-off city, their apartment is where they degrade themselves by rebelling against all the principles of honesty and chastity their parents taught them. Let every parent learn this big lesson. Such rebellious youths are hopeless. No natural means will change them. So don't waste time and money on man's worthless panaceas. Who can rescue these rebellious sons and daughters? Who can change them? I have found the only answer. I now declare it unto you. You who are distressed parents, you who are perplexed jurists and bewildered youths, hearken unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer, the only answer. He is God's perfect answer. So come with me to a manger in Bethlehem. Who is that babe? He is God's son, yet a real human babe. But in him is no sin, no wicked nature. Come now to a carpenter shop in Nazareth. Who is that young man that always obeys his mother and his stepfather too? He is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one who came down from heaven to do the will of God. And that will was for sons to obey their parents. Come now to yonder river. Who is that man in Jordan? God from heaven answers, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Then he approached the supreme test. God had appointed him to bear the sins of others as if they were his very own, and to receive the punishment those sins deserved. He, the just one, the obedient son, was to suffer for the rebellious sons. In Gethsemane, we see that lovely man prostrate on the ground. In agony, he sweats, but his sweat is blood. As he faces the awful ordeal, he cries, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." We now follow him to Calvary. He was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. In Gethsemane, he was a stone's cast away, and at Calvary, the stones of judgment fell on him, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Young folks, you may disgrace your father and break your mother's heart without a tear, but Calvary's cross will break you down. Jesus, the obedient Son of God, dying for your wicked sins to save you? Can it be? Your heart will be won to him. We don't stop there. Come to yonder mountain in Galilee. See that same man from death. He arose as death's conqueror. Hear his words of victory. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Young folks, search no longer for your champion. There he is. Surrender to him as your Lord and pledge your allegiance to him. And when you do, you will be changed. For whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. Our Lord's greatest servants were Peter, the rebellious young man. Our Lord describes, saying, "When thou wast young, thou walkest whither thou wouldest." And Paul, another self-willed youth, who said, "I thought with myself, and I did." The conqueror of Peter and Paul can change any rebellious youth. I ought to know. My mother described me as stubborn as a mule. Christ is the answer to all such. When they surrender to him, they are broken, subdued, and go forth a new person, not to upset a neighborhood with their devilment, but to be a blessing to all, as their youthful energy is dedicated to the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Rebellious youth, you need the Lord Jesus. He is the answer to your misery within and rebellion without. He can save and change you and make you a blessing to others. No longer destroy yourself. Surrender to Jesus and cry, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Saul did that on the Damascus Road and became Paul. I did that in my bedroom, and you can do so right where you are. Then in Christ Jesus your Lord, you will find the answer to the biggest problem, the problem of yourself. And peace and joy will fill your heart, and the sunlight of heaven will dawn as the day of a new life in Christ Jesus will be your blessed experience. Make that day today. Amen.